This podcast is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Whether you're a budding small business owner or a large company looking for a new space, a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, can help you find the right place to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories and timely insights.
I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli. Coming up, Republicans are pushing tax plans with key differences in the House and the Senate. But first, these top stories. Several economic reports are out this week. The producer price index for October is out Tuesday, and on Wednesday, retail sales numbers, including from Target. The latest weekly jobless claims are out Thursday, along with the Philadelphia Fed's Business Outlook Survey. And the number of new construction starts for the month of October is released on Friday. The United Kingdom has about 2 weeks to resolve outstanding Brexit issues before leaders discuss what the future of Britain's relationship with the European Union will look like. The three major issues include citizens' rights, preventing a border from re-emerging in the middle of Ireland, and lingering financial details. European leaders are expecting progress by the time they gather next month to talk about the next steps. U.S. universities are preparing for a fight against Republican plans to tax endowments at private colleges. The latest amendment to the GOP tax plan in the House would impose a 1.4% excise tax on each year of investment earnings on endowments of at least $250,000 per student. The tax would only affect schools that have at least 500 students and that are private and nonprofit. Coming up, more on the differences between tax plans in the House and the Senate. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important. And it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Welcome back, everybody. Republicans are scrambling to iron out the final details of a tax overhaul, but there are competing versions of the plan in the House and the Senate, further jeopardizing an end-of-year deadline set by Republicans. Here now to talk about those differences and whether the GOP will reach consensus in time is Wall Street Journal reporter Richard Rubin. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So there is some overlap in these plans, but they differ on a couple of key points, including the timing of the corporate tax rate cut and the top individual tax rate. How far apart are the Republican plans circulating in the House and the Senate right now?
I think a good way to think about it is that they're singing from the same songbook, but probably different pages. So the general architecture is the same. Lower the corporate rate, repeal the alternative minimum tax, provide estate tax cuts for people, get rid of some business breaks, get rid of some individual breaks, nearly double the standard deduction, repeal the personal exemption. All that stuff is roughly similar, but there are those key points of difference. They're different on the details of the child tax credit. They're really different on the way they handle pass-through businesses like partnerships. They're really different on the way they handle the international part of the tax system, which is really complicated and important for them to get right. So they're generally similar, and they've got a big drive to get this done, but they're certainly not exactly the same.
Richard, I want to talk about the difference in the plans regarding state and local tax deductions. Eliminating those deductions is something that's strongly opposed by heavily taxed states like New York, New Jersey, and California. That has to be a barrier to passing the tax bill, especially in the House.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got these members from Republican districts in high-tax states in New York and New Jersey in particular, and they've been really upset about it. And you can divide them into two groups. There's a group that's satisfied in the House with the current version in the House, which says you can deduct up to $10,000 in property taxes, but nothing on income taxes. And you've got a core group, Peter King of New York, Leonard Lance of New Jersey, who don't even think that $10,000 is enough. And so there are no votes already. The challenges in the Senate is the reverse. In the Senate, there's almost no Republicans who represent high-tax states where this is a big issue. And so they're willing to repeal the entire thing. And so the challenge is going to be if something like that comes back to the House, and it provides a lot of money in the Senate bill to do other things, if that comes back to the House, do they start losing other New York and New Jersey Republicans, Republicans who are fine with this property tax compromise that they came up with but couldn't accept full repeal?
As you write in your piece for the Wall Street Journal, this is also an important test for Republicans getting a tax overhaul in place before the end of the year after a couple of other failures this year. Key among them, repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. They weren't able to do that. And recently losing in several big races in the election. Are those factors making Republicans any more tentative about pushing through major changes in the tax code? How is that affecting the process right now?
I think it's sort of pulling things in both directions at once. So at one level, it is making them tentative. If you're from a district that Hillary Clinton won, if you're from a Democratic state, if you're at all worried about your general election, or even in some cases your primary next year, you might be thinking twice about some of these things, something like repealing the deduction for medical expenses, or if you're from a district or an area that's got a lot of renewable energy, you know, might be wary of changing that since if it's a big industry in your region. But at the same time, the losses that they've had and the lack of success they've had in passing big legislation sort of builds on itself. And so Republicans now are even more eager, some might say desperate, some might say desirous, imperative, whatever word you want to use to describe it. They really want to get something done and have something that they want to accomplish.
And House Speaker Paul Ryan has said they'll reconcile their differences. Is that an oversimplification at this point, or are lawmakers making strides toward a consensus?
I wouldn't even think about it that way yet. I think, look, this is out there, the potential differences between the House and the Senate. But right now, the House and the Senate are each focused on getting their own versions through. The House is likely to vote this coming week before Thanksgiving. The Senate is likely to vote the week after Thanksgiving. And that's really the prime focus at this point. The Senate is not trying to redesign its bill so it makes House members happy. They're trying to get 50 votes in the Senate. And likewise, in the House, they're not really worried at this point about what the Senate might do. They're just trying to get enough votes to get this through.
Are you anticipating any key compromises in the days to come?
I think we'll start seeing something in the Senate Finance Committee. Look for changes on the child tax credit. There are senators like Marco Rubio and Mike Lee who aren't on the committee but want a more generous credit than is in the current proposal. So you might see some way to address that. And we'll probably get a pretty good feel early in the week of exactly where the finance committee members are and what they're going to do. The other thing to look for is what's known as the Byrd rule, which says that bills under this fast track reconciliation procedure can't increase the deficit beyond the first 10 years. And the Senate bill clearly doesn't comply with that rule, and they're going to need to do something to address that.
So it sounds like there's a lot to work out. If we could sort of forecast into the future, how likely do you think we are to have a tax overhaul in place by the end of the year?
Well, let's separate that out. I think we're pretty likely to have some sort of tax bill. Whether you call it overhaul or not, it's, you know, we'll see. And by the end of the year, maybe. So, you know, tax overhaul by the end of the year, I'm not sure that's necessarily going to happen. Some sort of tax bill by the early part of next year, that's looking like there's a pretty decent chance of that.
Okay, well, it sounds like we'll have to wait and see. I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Richard Rubin. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, what's the best way to escape a robot gone rogue? Close the door behind you. As the Wall Street Journal reports, researchers found that hand-eye coordination is still a problem for robots during a recent contest where several of them were stopped in their tracks by an unlocked but closed door blocking their path. That said, odds are they're probably still better than most people are at math. And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli at the Wall Street Journal.
Spend time with Alexa, then make What's News part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo, the Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.